Gospel for today is taken from the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Okay, so I had some jokes for the kids. I just have one for you, though. My question is, why was the math book discouraged? Because it had lots of different problems. Yeah. Well, that actually started the whole thing with all those jokes. But I recently spoke with a friend who was experiencing hard times on many different levels of life, and she was feeling rather pummeled by life. And shortly after my conversation with her, I came across an article in the February Living Lutheran magazine, and it had a poem included in it by Robert Frost, and the poem's called Lodged. Did any of you read that poem or know this poem? I feel like I have to give a disclaimer or a warning, because this is not a feel-good poem. Instead, it reveals a deep and painful truth that there are times when those challenges of life feel relentless. And like that math book, we might be feeling a little bit discouraged because of the many different problems. So Robert Frost's poem goes like this. The rain to the wind said, "You push, I'll pelt." They so smote the garden bed that the flowers actually knelt and lay lodged, though not dead. I know how the flowers felt. Let me read that one more time. The rain to the wind said, "You push, and I'll pelt." They so smote the garden bed that the flowers actually knelt and lay lodged, though not dead. I know how the flowers felt. At different points in our lives, most of us, all of us, have had experiences of knowing how those flowers felt. Because life is not always easy. There are those stormy seasons that can feel relentless, where there's one thing after another, where, like those flowers, we feel lodged, though not dead. This poem by Robert Frost was actually part of an article about grieving, and how after several deaths in her family, the author said, "I know how the flowers felt." And I'm discovering that grief is a very interesting thing. As many of you know, my father passed away several weeks ago. And the good news is that, you know, he was a man of faith, and he lived a long, full, good life until he was 82 when he passed away. He had his very first heart attack when he was 49 years old, And he was very lucky to have survived that. And so we all knew, him included, that whatever remaining years he had left on this earth were truly a gift, a blessing. And although I knew my dad loved me and he knew that I loved him, after that first experience, after that first health scare, those I love yous came more frequently. And they were spoken out loud and not just simply understood. My dad would call me when I was a student at PLU. That was kind of the first time that I left home. And as a matter of fact, if the phone rang at that time, they had two rings. One ring was on-campus call. A double ring was an off-campus call. And I pretty much knew that whenever it was an off-campus call, I was going to pick up the phone and I was going to hear my dad's voice say, "Hello there, Bethy." And then our conversations, actually all of my dad's conversations with my brother, sister, and I would end the same way. He would say, "I love you." And then this part was always especially tailored for me because I was in college. He would say, "Study hard." And then his classic to all of us, "Be good and behave." To which I would always respond, "How about have fun?" But my dad's favorite hymn was Amazing Grace. And I knew at some point in time, as we sang it at his memorial service, we're going to have to sing it here. And so we're going to sing it today. And part of why I think that was one of his favorite hymns, and he had that hymn performed in, I don't even know how many different artists on CDs. I mean, and I don't even know how many CDs he had full of. You know, there was the Cherokee version of Amazing Grace, the bagpipes, the flutes, the St. Olaf Choir. I mean, all different types of that hymn. And Terry blessed him with the gift on the Thursday night before he passed away of actually playing that for him. Eric called. And my dad, though he was not really very responsive, he actually smiled as he heard Terry play that. And that was just really wonderful. But after that first heart attack, my dad changed. And I think that really we all did. Because I think we all knew that he was given a second chance at life. And so were we at life with him. And that time we had together on this earth was truly a gift. And my dad, I know, was grateful to have more time. And he sought to live whatever time he had left as a blessing. And although in the 33 years that he survived after that heart attack, he had many different heart-related health issues and procedures, he was able to just die very peacefully at home, surrounded by his family and with a whole lot of love. And, you know, that's really, truly not a bad way to go. But even still, you know, I grieve. I grieve because he was my dad. He was my dad. And my love for him is deep, and his love for me was deep. He was very deserving of my love and respect and appreciation. And it seems like, you know, with the depth of that love, the pain of that loss is also deep. You know, many of you have told me who have lost your parents that grief gets easier with time, or you know, grief over losing anyone that you love, that grief gets a little easier with time. But it never really completely goes away. It's like grief is an unwelcomed intruder that comes bursting into your life, who eventually becomes an unannounced companion, because you never know when those waves of grief are going to not only hit you, but maybe even overwhelm you. A wise friend reminded me in a letter. He said, you know, the more we love, the more we hurt. It is the way of things in God's creation, founded in love. And it's God's way. Our scripture lessons for today remind us of God's way, what God's way is all about, that God has indeed founded creation, all of creation, in love, that God holds us and holds all of creation with great love. We hear in John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is grace. This is God's amazing grace. That God so loves the world, that God desires eternal life for everyone. Since the beginning of time, God has been singing a love song for the world, a love that has carried God's people through many dangers, toils, and snares. Love that offered the Israelites freedom, that gave them and gave us the guidance of the law and the security of the promised land. Love that raised up passionate and compassionate prophets to sing sometimes a dissonant chord whenever inequality or injustice threatened the most vulnerable. A love that sent Jesus, the incarnation of God's love, to teach the world truly how to sing God's love song of amazing grace. A love that inspires us to raise our voices with the harmony of thankful praise and be a light that shines in the darkness. A love that keeps on singing us even after we take our last breath on this earth. That sings us into eternal life in Jesus Christ. In the article that I mentioned, Pastor Ann Roser, the author of the article, she included a second verse to Robert Frost's poem, but it wasn't written by him, it was written by her. And it goes like this. "The returning sun brought another day, and the vibrant blossoms rose to say, our roots are deep and our branches strong. For our gardener speaks a beloved song of healing and growth, and seeds to sow, new life for all to know." God's beloved song is truly a song of amazing grace. A song that sings to us when we are lodged by the trials and temptations of life. A song that shines on us and lifts us to new life in Christ. A song that roots us deeper into the very love of God. A song that strengthens our branches so that even though we experience difficult times, we can continue to keep reaching out in love. To keep reaching out with love and hope and grace. We are each given the gift of today. Today is a special, wonderful gift from God our Creator. Be this love. Be this hope. Be God's grace. Join your voice with all of creation in singing God's beloved song. May truly that song in your heart, may it never end, because it is a love song of God's amazing grace. Amen.